Our Talents, Ellen G. White. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he likewise gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The man entrusted with the 1 talent manifested an avaricious spirit. He claimed to have great discernment, such discernment as many pride themselves in possessing today, a distrust of those who are doing service for God, a jealousy of God. He thought that his Lord possessed a spirit like his own. But it was he that possessed the ungenerous, unjust attributes, not his Lord, who in mercy and love had entrusted the talent to him. His words plainly showed that he knew not his Lord. The principle which led him to rob his master of the improvement of his talent made him ungenerous, and led him to covet that which was not his own. This man cast down his entrusted gift, saying, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Lesson of the Parable. The lesson of this parable is applicable in our day, from the lowest and most obscure to those placed in highest positions of responsibility. We are God's property. We are all entrusted with the goods of heaven, talents of intellect, wealth, reason, and we are not to regard lightly any of these gifts. They are the Lord's capital, to be used, sanctified, and returned to the Lord, improved by use. To every man God has given his work, and all will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of what they have done for their master. Every gift of God is to be used, and by use to accumulate. Every faculty of the mind, every gift of grace that heaven has provided for the human agent, is to be freely imparted to others in refining, elevating, ennobling works. God has given the faculty of thought to be used as a sacred treasure. The wise improvement of the powers of the mind will increase our ability to represent the character of Christ to the world. With all the mind, the heart, the soul, the strength, the entrusted gifts of God are to be used for the blessing of others. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This work of improvement is an individual work, and the proper use of our powers will constitute us laborers together with God. We are to use our faculties faithfully, doing our best to benefit those of our own household. And this influence will be felt outside the home circle. By the members of the family, it will be communicated to all with whom they are brought in contact. There must be no burying of our talents in the earth to corrode through inaction. A persistent indulgence of self, a refusal to exercise our God-given abilities, will ensure our eternal separation from God, the loss of an eternity of bliss. These gifts are bestowed upon us in accordance with our ability to use them, and the wise improvement of each will prove a blessing to us and will bring glory to God. Every gift gratefully received is a link in the chain which binds us to heaven. The gifts of him who honestly trades with his Lord's goods will be increased, but from him who does not will be taken away even that which he has. Through failing to put to the best use the entrusted endowments of heaven, he loses that which might have multiplied in his hands. Spiritual idleness means spiritual unfaithfulness. Could every idler in the marketplace understand the penalty of slothfulness, he would be up and doing. The word declares that he which is unfaithful in that which is least is unfaithful also in much. All his work bears the impression of unfaithfulness. None will be pleased to meet their unfaithfulness in the judgment, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Those words represent the case of the servant who hid his Lord's treasure, in the place of using it to the glory of God. The more we have of this world's goods, the greater will be our accountability to God. Let the question be asked sincerely, heartily: what do I with my Lord's entrusted talents? There are those who have great light, great opportunities. They realize the Master's kindly affections and are stirred to make returns. But other influences come in. The demands of the family are absorbing. Will these teach their children that they cannot be faithful stewards and still gratify their intemperate desires to dress like the worldling? Will they spend time and means in self-gratification to such an extent that there is nothing left for the poor or the cause of God? Will they suffer wife or children to lead them into false or forbidden paths? Will they open the door to selfish indulgence and shut the heart to the call for means for the Lord's treasury? Will they tie up their means in houses and lands, or keep their means buried in the earth so that it can never rise to heaven in gifts and offerings to accumulate there? Mrs. E. G. White.